So I've looked upon thee in the sanctuary, beholding the power and glory. Behold, thy steadfast love is better than life. I live will praise thee. So I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on thy name. My soul is feasted with marrow and fat, and my mouth praises with joyful lips. While I think of thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the watches of the night, for thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to thee. Thy right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth.
Each year, the Student Coordinating Council has the opportunity to speak to the students concerning some facet of the work of the SCC as it relates, of course, to the student body, to the faculty, and to the administration. This year, I've chosen a kind of overview or a purview of the purpose, as I understand it, of the SCC to be in the life of an educational institution. A subtitle might be, what does the Coordinating Council coordinate? The SCC, unlike a political unit, does not have a legislative or executive or judicial powers in the formal sense. It's an advisory council. The Constitution, which you have received in the handbook, or if you are a first-year seminarian, will receive when the handbooks come out, relate in statement that the SCC is an advisory agent to the administration to coordinate the activities and purposes of the administration and of the students toward the administration, so that there might be a meeting of understanding and a creation of Christian community in the seminary faculty, the seminary students, administration. Not that this Christian community is in any sense factious, but that it's whole, representing all of those who come to this seminary community to study and to participate in learning. Now then, in the givenness of the structure of the SCC, of the representation of the students upon this campus, we already know that the SCC is an advisory body. But there is a possibility of approaches. There are wheels within wheels in the form that a group can take toward the use of the Student Coordinating Council. And I want to give these approaches my particular attention this morning. I see three general approaches. Two of them are unworthy. One of them, though unworthy, I sympathize with. The other one is unworthy from its concept, from its inception. And finally, I would point to a concept of the Student Coordinating Council that I feel best fits the needs of an educational institution. Now let me say first off and forthrightly that this isn't written in the script of the Constitution. I think it's an unwritten attitude, because these approaches are attitudes as much as anything else. The first approach that I sympathize with and yet realize is an abortive approach, is a kind of approach that might be called an avant-garde. It's abortive because sometimes it's improperly motivated. It's hard to categorize the avant-garde. I think sometimes we can place in that category those people who distrust anyone over 30, who are rebels without a cause, and incidentally, Rebels Without a Solution, people who would like to be where the action is, but never see a denouement to that action. We can dismiss that category quickly, maybe because most of us have approached or beyond that age of 30 now. But there is another group in this kind of approach to correlating the work of students and the work of faculty in that avant-garde that I do sympathize with, and yet feel have made a mistake in their approach to implementing their concern. These people are idealistic people who, properly motivated, have their head in the clouds and do not realize what constructively can be done in this world. I'm no historian nor a son of a historian, but I'll make my diagnosis just like all of us do, I suppose. I see some kind of nostalgia for a return of a medieval synthesis among a lot of us in this category. Ashamed and embarrassed perhaps because the church is no longer the center of the stage in the world. We would like to see that return and have some confusion equated being in the world as the church with being where the big action is. It gives rise especially to those of us who haven't had the misfortunes and suffering of the world, to equate this being in the world with the power in closed conferences. And sometimes I get the idea that we feel if we could infiltrate Madison Avenue and General Motors and the White House, then the church would indeed be the church. But of course, this is a fallacy. It's a fallacy in two ways. It's a fallacy in the first sense that the church being in the world is seldom glamorous. And in the second place, it seldom leads to fame. There are occasions when that happens, when fame erupts. But that fame that erupts usually erupts from the obscure. It erupts because Mrs. Rosa Parks got too tired to yield her seat to someone on the bus in Montgomery, Alabama. So for those of us who would like to see a dynamic student coordinating council, this is a cherished hope and one that should not be relinquished. And yet it should be coupled with an attitude that does the routine work and realizes the virtue of that routine work, and would not equate being in the world with doing big things. There is a second approach that is even more tempting to our work here, more threatening to our community existence, to Christian community, than is this former approach. And that approach might be called an approach where a group of students, where a community of faculty and students see an advisory council to be a receptacle that is to be filled with student opinion or academic distribution of materials, a disseminating kind of advisory council. This is not necessary. It's just as unnecessary as it is tragic for it to occur. I suppose before I would posit why I think it is so tragic, it might be helpful to point to one or two reasons why it occurs. Perhaps first it might be said that that a student coordinating council becomes a receptacle because there's a lack of opportunity. Now, a student coordinating council maintains its effectiveness because of student support, because of its access to administration, and because of the charismatic leadership of those who are its elected officials. Now, it is my opinion and my experience that access to administrative support and initiative is not lacking on this campus. Charismatic leadership may be lacking, and indeed does lack all the glamour that we're accustomed to giving to that word. And yet I think that the student support and making the SCC what it ought to be is pivotal in establishing some kind of organism that has any kind of fruitfulness to it. I don't know if it's in the form of testimony or personal bias or both, but in my experience at this school, I have often found myself embarrassed at my poverty of initiative as a student in comparison with the initiative taken by this faculty and administration. I don't mean that for any kind of emotionally loaded appraisal, but I hopefully mean it as a fact. Now, there are structures that thwart our participation in community. Most of us commute to school. Many of us pastor churches. Almost all of us have families. So that an ideal Christian community does not exist, but perhaps it has never existed ideally. So that the participation that we're called to bring to making our student council more than receptacle is a participation that is a call within and above the area of sacrifice. And this leads me to posit something that I think is even perhaps more important than lack of opportunity. Perhaps it could be called a lack of perspective, a lack of depth. I don't know what you call it. But it is my feeling that if this school is what it would most care to be, it can only be that kind of school, because the students have not evaded their responsibility to participate within it. In fact, it seems to me that there is a kind of sin connected with a lack of dialogue. There is a kind of negative connotation that would certainly fall upon us if, as an organized student group, we fail to be that constructive stimulus that is expected of us to be. It has its negative and its positive sides. And as your education and mine has certainly taught us, the living God is one with cosmic purpose, and the pillar of cloud moves on, so that today's religion may become the enemy of tomorrow's faith. As that has happened in the past, it is still possible for it to happen today. Well, if I can say something positive now, I think there is a place for the student council, the student coordinating council in this school that in the first place, is not an avant-garde, does not thrust its purposes to the forefront, nor does it see itself as a receptacle, and seeing itself as a receptacle thwart the purposes of God in our participation in history. But foregoing both of those two chasms, sees itself as a creative tension, seeing itself as a consolidator of Christian community. Not that we create Christian community, but that we accept it as the gift of God, bearing one another's burdens, and in that manner fulfilling the law of Christ. It is my final conviction, then, that the creative tension that this school, and the students in particular, are called to participate within is a kind of conviction that sympathizes with the compromises and the realities of this world, and yet nevertheless is dedicated in motivation, in word, and in action to that divine reality which works within history and stands at the end of history as its judge and as its redeemer.
Will you stand with me as we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the beauty and the wonder of your creation. And we thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves as imperfect beings. We are seeking your presence and your guidance in our lives and in our ministries. We ask that you would make your will known to us and strengthen us that we might be able to fulfill our purpose in life. We ask that you would bless this faculty and the students in this institution as we work together trying to learn and understand more about our faith. Give us the determination to make the gospel relevant both in our words and in our lives as we live with our fellow man. Teach us all to honor the name of Christ and help us as we try to become like him. We ask these things in his name. Amen.